I have nothing left to be said. Mark, you've said it all. Appreciated that.
Amen.
That song certainly expressed it all in the aspects of that. The giraffe, I couldn't believe. Great illustration. Long, long, long neck, right? But some people say life is like a turtle. You never get ahead until you stick your neck up. So you got to think about not depending on the neck. Okay? The aspects, of course, of life is that it can be short and long, can it? Some of you here have lived a good life, and you ought to be thankful for it. Amen? Some of you here are still young, thinking about getting married. You better be thankful that you have that opportunity yet ahead of you in perspective. But Maggie came in this morning. Bless her little heart. She always has one for me. So what did the left eye say to the right eye? She says, I think there's something between us that smells. Now, doesn't life really kind of smell when you find yourself not in a good attitude of being thankful? Don't you think that being grateful and being thankful adds a little sweetness to life and things taste a little better? I quoted my grandmother last week. She said, remember, that everything tastes better when you're thankful. Thanksgiving makes everything taste better. So this morning, when we think about the element of our prayer life and being and going before God, we should approach God in an attitude continuously of being grateful. In fact, when they settled and were settling, as it was, in First Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4, 1 Chronicles 6, Moses appointed certain of the Levites into a ministry of thanksgiving. That was their ministry. They were to give constant praise and thanks to the God of Israel and ask for his blessings upon God's people. And they were to be continuously doing that. They were a people, a ministry appointed by Moses by the direction of God, that they would be a people who would continually be thanking, praising God daily for who he was, for his deliverance, for his provision, for all the things that God had done in their individual life. And they were a continuing people of praise and thanksgiving to God. I don't think God's changed. I think God's intent that all of us that have been called out of the world into Christ be in a ministry of praise and thanksgiving to him. And that our whole purpose in life is to praise God and to be grateful to God for all the good things of life that we experience. What do you think? How thankful are you? Does your life taste good because you are and have a spirit of thankfulness in your heart to God for all the good things that he's been and has done in your individual life? You know, if you took a pile of sand and put a little bit of iron magnets, iron pieces and threads within that pile of sand, you could spend all day trying to find those little particles of iron. But if you took a magnet and you went across that sand and you kept using that magnet, it wouldn't be very long that that magnet would attract all those little particles of iron steel to that magnet, right? Huh? Are you not attracted to people who have a spirit of being grateful? Doesn't those people that you run into and interact with on a daily basis and you find they're not grumblers, they're not fault finders, they're grateful people, aren't you attracted to that? Don't they kind of draw you to them? Well, and vice versa, sometimes when you and I are around people that are always finding fault, always grumbling, never grateful, never thankful, it's kind of hard to want to be in their midst, right? Right? Yeah, I think so. And so when we think about the aspect of thanksgiving and remembering all of that, we remember, first of all, what God has done. That's a part of it, right? We also go about telling other people about it. Peter says that we are a holy nation. We're a royal priesthood. that we've been called forth by God to declare His marvelous works and demonstrate and show it to the world how marvelous our God is. He is a marvelous, wonderful, awesome God. And your life should be demonstrating it. It should be demonstrating it. And in result of that, you are showing the glory of God to others by allowing your attitude of thanksgiving to touch their lives and to permeate their lives. It is the will of God that you be thankful for everything. Remember last week? What is God's will? That you be thankful for everything. And everything give thanks. He also says that as a result of that, you would be offering up gifts of self, gifts of your time, your talents, your abilities, your resources. You would naturally be grateful for the opportunity to give back to God. I just want to take a few moments to look at Chronicles 16 and the aspects of what is said here in relationship to what I mentioned, first of all, by Moses, appoint him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 1 Chronicles 16, I'm going to read 3 and 4 and then just follow along as I go down through the chapter, okay? It says that Moses distributed to everyone of Israel, both men and women, to everyone a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a raisin cake. So this coming Thursday, we're going down to my son's. Everybody's sharing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And what are we going to be sharing? Well, to everyone that's there, there'll probably be some bread. There'll be a turkey. I know there'll be some dressing and et cetera, as far as that is concerned. And probably a cake of some nature. My son, knowing I love pumpkin pie, is making 2 pumpkin pies. He always makes 2 pumpkin pies. So we'll have that there. I know we will. And they'll have whipped cream, Cool Whip, you know, to put on it. All right? And then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the Ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and to praise the God of Israel. He appointed these men before the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know about the Ark of the Covenant at that point, but I do know that it was a point of knowing the presence of God. Inside the Ark was manna, was the original Ten Commandments, was the rod that Moses used to deliver the people. This is our Ark of the Covenant. This is where we come to remember, and this is where we know that where 2 or 3 gather together in the name of the Lord, He said, I'll be present. Right? In the aspects of that, this is the blood and the body of our Lord, and we come to remember that He died for us, was crucified for us, He was buried and rose from the grave on the first day of the week. This is the first day of the week. So on the first day of the week, the early Christians came to do and to break bread. We broke bread this morning. We participated in the Lord's Supper. Notice verse 7. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the God. Okay? So when we come together for our prayer meetings a couple times a month, you know, the first thing we usually do is we do have a time of thanksgiving and being grateful and praying for different things and of that nature. Verse 8, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing to Him, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders, glory in His holy name, let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord with His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His wonderful deeds which He has done, His marvels and the judgments from His mouth. Then down to verse 23, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the people. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. Praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. We came here to praise the Lord, and we came here to thank Him. And that should be a daily experience of every one of our life, that we live a life of thanksgiving and the aspects of that. Because thanksgiving didn't originate here in the United States. It originated 3,000 years earlier when God appointed the harvest day, day of harvest. a day of thanksgiving, that God's people were to come and be grateful for all of the wonderful blessings and all the wonderful gifts that God had given to them as a people, and to keep that feast of harvest which they had given as they had sown the field. And they came forth rich every year, and they praised God for the harvest and every good thing that God had given them. You see, when you and I approach God in our prayer life, the first thing we are instructed to do is that, as our scripture said, and I will turn it on for you so you can have it in front of you. It said, first of all, to do what? Again, it says rejoice. And again, I'll say it again, rejoice. Isn't that what it said? Rejoice, okay? I will say rejoice. That's amazing how we'll emphasize that. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Did you let your gentle spirit? How many of you got your spirit under control? How many of you are anxious, full of fear? How many of you are continually grumbling, complaining? You're not satisfied with life and what it's given to you? How many of us are constantly having a spirit that is gentle, that people can look at us and know that God is in control of our lives, and we believe that with all of our heart, and we do not, and we're not anxious about anything? Because we have a God that we know provides for His people. And we praise Him for that. And we thank Him for every good thing. Because every perfect and good gift comes down from our Father of light, and there's no shadow, no variation, there's no turning with Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can count on it. You can count on that. We need to have a gentle spirit. I need to demonstrate that spirit to people where I work with, people that I live with, my wife and my children. They need to see my spirit is under control of how I am grateful and thankful to the God that I believe in. And how He provides for me. He does. And so He says the Lord is near. That's why we can be gentle. Because God doesn't forsake us. You draw nigh to God and He'll do what? He'll draw nigh to you. God promised He'd never leave us, nor would He ever forsake us. Therefore, we can confidently say that God is our helper. And every time of need, God is there to help us. God isn't against us, He's for us, and if God is for us, nothing can be against us. Then why are we so anxious and fearful today? Good question, isn't it? Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Last week I picked on two words, everything and always. Rejoice always, right? And everything, two hard words, isn't it? Now He talks about the word, be anxious for nothing. I hate it when I hear people say to other people, will you always do that? Really? Always? Don't you remember I did this and this and that? But I... You know what that breeds in most people? Anger. Because they can remember all the times they didn't do that. Right? You never. No, never. You never. Really? And now, we got to be very careful in our language how we use those words on one another. You know that? Because I don't always do this, and I do some things once. Don't know, honey. Once in a while. Marilyn, I'm talking once in a while. Okay. And everything by what? Prayer and supplication with what? And everything by prayer and supplication with what? I can't hear you. Can't hear you. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God will do what? It surpasses all of your understanding. It will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Man alive, there's not a one of you here, nor I, that don't need that peace. In a world of unpeace, one of a turmoil, evil, the world we live in, we need to be a people that are experiencing the peace of God that passes all comprehension and understanding. And it's that peace that guards my heart and mind. Have you read about all the young and how people are dying with heart attacks in the 30s today? Have you read just lately how many young people are committing suicide, taking their lives? I mean, it's an epidemic in our country today. And they're concerned about it. You can't read much of Newsweek and other articles, and they're writing articles about all these young people out there that seemingly have nothing, no purpose, no nothing, and the fear that's coming upon the world, their hearts are waxing, and they have nothing to live for. So why not? They break up with their girlfriend, the girlfriend breaks up with them, they can't handle it, and the website comes filling with kids that just make fun of them and ridicule them. So what do? They go in their bedrooms and hang themselves. That's going on all over the place. My family's experienced it. Your family maybe has experienced some of the dynamics that occurs of that type of thing today. Why? Because we're putting God out of our knowledge today. We put God on the back shelf of our lives today. And I guarantee you, if you don't put the fear of God in you, you'll have and you will fear life itself. Because I know there's a God who's in control of my life, I don't live anxious about tomorrow. I don't even concern myself tomorrow. God's given me today and I thank Him for it. The Bible says every day you have given, you are to be glad and rejoice in it. In the day. You don't know about tomorrow. Just live today. Give today the best. If tomorrow comes, praise God for it then. Be grateful for it and live it to its fullness. Amen? That's what we are and who we are as a people. And so he says, the peace of God guard your heart, guard your mind. And therefore, what is true, what is honorable, what is right, pure, lovely, good repute, if there is anything that is excellent, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on those things. What do your mind dwell on most of the time? What do you let your mind... You have control over what you let your mind dwell on. You're the one that can shut it off and turn it on. You're the one that can say, no, I'm not letting my mind go there. Nope, 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 nope. You can replace whatever it is that causes anxiety, fear, whatever. You can replace it by thinking about things which are good, lovely, pure, right, etc. Right? Can you do that? Huh? Yeah? Yeah? Can you do that? You sure can. Are you supposed to? Will you? Are you going to continue to let your heart be anxious and worrying and fretting about life and every aspect about tomorrow? And then you find your heart and your mind being wore down. You know what men do with fear and with their anxiety and whatever? You know what men do with it? They dump it inside. You know what happens when they dump it all inside? They get colon cancer. They get issues. I know medical doctors that have been friends of mine over the years, and they shared with me, and they tell me that over about 80% of the people in hospitals today aren't there because they're physically ill. They're there because of a psychosomatic emotional illness that has affected their physical bodies. Worry and fretting and being anxious. And what do you do with all that? You need to have the healing that God can give you. How come my little green arrow is not working? But anyway, by keeping your mind dwelling on things that are good and lovely and pure and holy and of good report, don't let your mind go on where the world's going today. I know God's in control of the world, don't you? Huh? There's nothing hidden from God. Nothing's going on that isn't in the will of God. It's all coming to an end someday. You know that, don't you? Huh? Yeah, it's appointed a day that God's going to judge the world and things are going to come to an end. But I'm going to live every day God gives me and I'm going to be grateful for it. I'm going to thank Him for it. When I step out of my bed and I get my feet on the floor, internally I'm saying, grateful, thank you, God, for another day. Let me glorify you today. And it begins with Marilyn. It begins with anyone and everyone I can touch within my life. Psalms 92, 1 through 2 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to His name, Most High, to declare thy loving kindness. Are you listening? Declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness it in night. Did you hear what he said? It is good that when you get up in the morning, to thank God and declare His loving kindness. Every day you should be grateful to God that you're going to experience the kindness of God, His loving kindness. And the psalmist says that God's loving kindness endures forever. There's no end to it. And then he says, and at night you are then to be grateful and thanking and praising God for His faithfulness to you today. So when you get up tomorrow morning, what are you going to do? You're going to thank Him for the loving kindness you're going to experience through the day. You're going to thank Him that He's going to express His kindness, because God is good and He's love and He's kind. God is kind. And then when you get through with the day, before you go to bed at night, you're going to thank Him for His faithfulness to you. Wow. It's a good formula. You suppose it might take you off some of your medicines? Oh, don't let that happen. By no means. I'm serious. Really. The best medicine that I believe that a person can swallow is having their faith totally, completely in the God that this book reveals. He is kind, and He's good, He's loving, He's merciful, He's forgiving, He is gracious, He loves you, and He loves me. And God hates anything that comes upon you that is evil and wrong. It is not in God's will that you experience that. It is in God's will that you come to know His goodness and you live in that goodness. So you can get up every morning thanking for the kindness that He's going to express to you in that given day. And when you get done to retire, you can go to bed and say, "Thank you, God, for being faithful to me today." Good formula. Yeah, it's a good formula. And I know it's hard to swallow in the world that we live in today. But I believe it's better than swallowing all the pills that a lot of people are swallowing today to try to get through another day. I'm not saying that will solve all the physical issues you may have, but I believe mentally and heart-wise, it may resolve a lot of things that are going on inside of you. Think about it, okay? If He guards your heart, that's your physical heart, and your physical mind, then let Him guard it. Be anxious for nothing. But in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, accompanied with what? First thing you ought to be doing as you go to God in prayer is thanking Him, praising Him, honoring Him, and being grateful to Him. Putting your requests before Him. And then the peace of God, which passes all comprehension. Wow. I can't comprehend it. There's no way you can comprehend it. Colossians 3:12 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Control it. Rule over it. Give it peace. Anybody here need peace? Oh, remember when He was born, the angel said He would be called the Prince of Peace? You will not find peace in this world. You understand that? You're going to find peace in Christ. He's the peace giver. He came to give peace to the world. That's how they announced it. I pray to God that all of us can find it, live in it, enjoy it to its fullness. Psalms 107, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." Let me say it again. His loving kindness is everlasting. Everlasting kindness. Somebody ought to write a song about that. Everlasting kindness. I mean, yes, you know? Think about it. Everlasting kindness. That means He's ever, always is graciously kind, doesn't it? Huh? Everlasting. Give thanks for it. Give thanks for it. But remember, when you get up in the morning, you're going to thank Him for His everlasting kindness. When you go to bed at night, you're going to thank Him for His faithfulness. Wow. If there was a pile of sand, as I already answered, I just really believe that God knows that what magnetically draws us to Him is the fact that He is kind, loving, and forgiving. You cannot draw nigh to a God that you think is against you. You can't draw an eye to a God that you think is filled with bitterness and hate towards you. You can't believe in and draw an eye to a God that thinks he's up there playing policeman on your life. And every time you make a mistake, he's going to damn you. He's going to curse you. He's going to cause things to... That's paganism. You know that, don't you? That's why they build idols. That's why they do this and do that. Because they don't want their gods to be mad at them. Well, let me tell you something, people. Romans 5 says, when you and I were yet in our sins, God commended his love toward us and he let Jesus die. Don't tell me God doesn't love you because he let his son die for you. And once you become one of his children, you allow and become born again into the family of God, you'll experience the love of God like you never have experienced it before. Because God really does love us. He really does love us. And he wants to protect us. He wants to watch over us. He wants to put us under the wings like a chicken with its brood. Remember when Jesus said that? Looking down on Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. How I would like a hen take you under my wing, but you won't. You won't let me. So put your life under his control, under his wings. Let him protect you. That's what his desire is. That's what he really wants and what he desires more than anything else. I don't know where you are today, but I do know where God is. He's on his throne. And he's ruling and reigning, and all his enemies are becoming his footstool. I don't consider any of you here this morning an enemy of God. I would consider maybe some of us have not the faith that we ought to have. Is that why the disciples said to Jesus, increase our faith? Is that what you need, is to have your faith increased? Well, faith is a work of God. You don't produce it. You don't pump it up. You don't put it in some formula in some bottle, shake it up and drink it. And wow, I got faith. I'm believing. No, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that faith is in the God who has made promises to us. And God says that if you will be anxious for nothing and you will come before his throne in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that he will guard your hearts and minds. You will experience a peace that passes all understanding. He will never allow you to be tried above what you can stand. He will allow you to escape and give you a time. God is faithful. Therefore, do not waver in your faith, the Hebrew writer said. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today. Stop allowing other people's thoughts and philosophy. Come to know the God of the book, who revealed himself to you in Jesus Christ, who said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. What did Jesus do? Went about opening the eyes of the blind, raising people from the dead, expressing God's love to the world. He went about doing good. There was nothing evil that he did. Nothing at all. People marveled at his word because he didn't speak like other scribes and teachers. He spoke as one having authority. Listen to him. Listen to him. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I've laid down my life for the sheep. I know my sheep by their names. Jesus is the door, and he's the one that will bring us into a right relationship with God. We in America probably could take heed to Moses' warning to Israel, where he said in Deuteronomy 6, 11 and 12, when you shall have eaten and be filled, then beware lest you forget the Lord. So I'm sure most of you are going to eat this coming Thursday. Some of you may eat more than what you ought to. I plan on it. And when we live in a country like ours where things are seemingly good and people have money and live in good homes and so on, and we see the rest of the world that's going on, like in Chile and down in other parts of the world where poverty is unbelievable, it's really easy for us to just forget to count our blessings. Name them one by one. Take it all of it for granted. That's what Israel did. Moses warned them, when you go into the land of milk and honey, don't you forget the Lord. It's so easy when everything's going good to kind of put God on the side burner, isn't it? Yeah, it is. But life without thankfulness, people, is devoid of love and passion. I said life without being grateful and thankful is life is void of love and passion. We're seeing that today, aren't we? We're seeing a lot of things happening in our country where we don't see love and we don't see compassion. Melon and I were watching the Weather Channel last night, and they were showing this car that had turned and flipped upside down by this current of the river, and how these men were out there trying to save the lives of the people that were inside the car. And there was no doubt in mind that they were risking their lives. All of them could have been swept away by the current and drowned. But they were out there. They were hanging on to one another's hands. They were doing whatever. And unbelievably, they come out with this little teeny baby. And they had the baby, and they got it. And then they found out there were two other little ones in there. One was 4 and the other was 6, I believe. And they were able to rescue them. And they got mom and dad out. And the point of issue is, because they were willing to risk their lives, they saved every one of them. And they would have drowned if they couldn't. And if they hadn't have done that, they would have drowned. They would have. Thank God. There are still people. Because one of them confessed after it was all done and said, God would have done this for me and did this for me and his son. How could I not do any less for them? Get it? You get it? When you really experience the love of God in your life, you'll have love and you'll have passion. Thankfulness or hope without thankfulness is lacking in fine perception. People have lost their perception today because they have no hope. Faith without thankfulness lacks strength and fortitude, because that's where your strength comes from. That's where your fortitude comes from, is your faith in God. And every virtue devoid from thankfulness is maimed, and we start living along in life and we lose our spiritual reality. And we're living on love. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. I said happy Thanksgiving. But let's be thankful every day. Let's be grateful to God, because out of that thanksgiving, you will become a positive person. You will be thinking positive thoughts of pure and good and lovely and virtuous. That's what you will do, won't you? Won't you? Yeah? When you are indeed thankful, you will be gracious and you will abound. Because as Mark said this morning, it is truly more blessed to give than it is to receive. You will become a giver, a server, and you will reach out. And you will find more fulfillment in giving than you will in receiving. Amen? Thankfulness is always living a life of love, because it becomes the final element of every aspect. And don't tell me that we don't need more love in our homes today. Husband loving the wives like Christ loved the church. Wives loving their home, their husband, loving children. Just love is the answer, people. Always has been, always will be. But not the fleshly love. It's agape love. It's a love that comes from God. It's pure. It's holy love that causes me to become transformed and different. And I become kind like God is, forgiving like He is, gracious like He is. And I bring peace into my marriage. I bring peace into the lives of those I love. Amen? Thanksgiving is what humbles us. It keeps us humble. Why? Because I cannot get those words of James out of my mind. Every good and perfect gift comes down from my Father, and the Father of lights comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. There is no shadow, no variation or change with Him. And that reminds me of what Mark shared with us this morning. What do you have that hasn't been given to you? It's in Him you move and breathe, have your being. You are His offspring. Every breath you take, God gives it to you. So thank Him. But don't forget the formula. So every day you get up in the morning, what are you going to do? Huh? You're going to be grateful and thank Him for His kindness, right? And when you're done with the day and you're going to go to bed, even tonight, what are you going to do? You're going to be thankful for His faithfulness to you. Amen? You're going to become a thankful people. God will bless you. It really was. We're going to sing the same song we sang last week. Bring the thought, weight, and focus. To God be the glory, because great things He has done.